Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We're here. We're back.
Yes, we are.
You just can't get rid of us.
No, we keep coming back every day. Every week, you're like, what? They're back again? Yeah, baby. You're welcome.
You thought we were gone, and we're right back at it.
That's right.
I'm Cecilia.
I'm Carly, and this little ditty is Ghosts Are Everywhere.
And we're doing it again.
That pause was so that you would say it along with me, and you all did great.
I know,
I heard you at home.
You all did great except for me.
Yeah, except everyone, for Cecilia, who didn't join in, but that's fine.
Everyone says it except for me. I refuse on principle.
She likes to rebel for no reason.
I will not do it.
How you doing, Cecilia?
I'm good. I've got a little table set up with all my stuff on it. It's not on my bed.
Love it. We love a new
switch
setup.
It up slightly. I've got my, I'm drinking my guava juice.
There's a little bit of tea in there. Look at that. It's a party. It's the afternoon. We're having a good time.
It's 3 p.m. We're recording.
That's right.
What? The day that we're supposed to be releasing? What?
What? You mean we're trying to get better at our scheduling? What? We've only been doing this for what? 2 years? What?
We're giving really a whole week to edit?
What? You mean I'm not going to scramble? What? Amazing. Yeah. I think this pandemic has shown us one thing is that, like, we already have a tough time with scheduling because we're just, like, not the best at it. But, yeah, time really has melded all together. So this past year has proved really weird in trying to figure out when we can record.
Yeah. And it's not like we're, like, doing a whole lot. Like,
I know. I know.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's not like we have so many social commitments. It's still just like, oh, we can't this week. We're still busy, which makes no sense. But
like, I'm so busy not writing my story. I'm so sorry.
I know. But you know what? This is free content for you, our listeners, and you're welcome. So thanks for joining us, and we're happy to be here, and we're back, and we're working on our scheduling. And you know what? If you missed us this week, we got 86 more episodes on top of this bad boy.
I haven't listened to all of them. Go back.
and if you have, oh my God, good job.
You
deserve a medal.
So congrats.
Only reason I have is because I have to edit them.
I don't have to do shit.
Celia shows up, she leaves.
I show up and I talk and then I forget everything.
That's so true. It's so funny. Yeah, I'm obsessed with, because I do this too when I listen to other podcasts. I'm like, that's such a, like, that joke, that thing. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, they're like, I don't remember. It's out of their brains, probably. Because I know it's out of my brain half the time. Like, sometimes it'll come back to me. I'll have to, like, think on it. But a lot of times I'm like, the ridiculous amount of things we say on this podcast is shocking. Truly shocking.
It's like real life. I cannot be expected to remember anything I say. or anything I do, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love it. And it's a good time.
But our last guest, Alexandre, was messaging us. Well, it's the episode and like,
hi, Alexandre,
like,
we love you.
From it, and I was just like, no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, because he's newly obsessed with listening to the back catalog, and it's
our
so
new biggest
funny.
Fan. I love it. It's very funny.
it's so great. But yeah, it is funny to like have other people enjoy the weird shit that we say to one another that we've enjoyed but we've forgotten about. So that is it is silly and funny.
The ghosts of our jokes that we forget live on. The spirits. The spirits of our words.
Our ghost jokes. Our
will
ghost
live
words.
Forever and can be found by these people.
They'll be on the internet.
By you.
Into
listening.
Perpetuity. Ooh. I'm obsessed with that.
Okay, well, we're here to talk about ghosts. We have
got a
choose your own adventure happening.
Oh, you love a choose your own adventure, everybody, don't you? I do. Cecilia does too. Cecilia, what's on the menu today? Should we tell them how we do?
Well,
should we remind the folks at home?
We talk about ghosts And sometimes we do a little bit more specific than that, and we're like, we're going to talk about ghosts here. We're going to talk about ghosts there. But today, we're just like, we're just going to talk about ghosts, and I have no idea what story Carly's going to tell me, and she has no idea what the hell I'm going to talk about.
But that's absolutely right.
You guys probably know, because you probably read the episode description.
Good for you for doing
and
that!
And the ones that know.
Yeah, today's a little bit of a free-for-all. It could be anywhere, mm-hmm. anywhen. Our stories could be ghosts, probably usually ghosts. Sometimes mm-hmm. not, though. So, you know what? Mm-hmm. Anything spooky, scary, weird, we're into it, probably. So, yes. We're going to talk about it. And mm-hmm. Today, Cecilia's going to start us off with her neat story she's got for us.
And you said usually ghosts, and this one, not a lot of ghosts.
Oh!
But they do factor into the story.
Okay.
But it's mostly just dead people.
Whoa.
A dead person. One dead person in particular.
Well, typically you need dead person, dead people for a ghost, typically. But also not always. Mm-hmm.
This one's pretty dead.
All right.
But I got all my information. I thought that we had covered this before because mm-hmm. I feel like it's something that's been covered on other podcasts. I know I've listened to episodes of My Favorite Murder and also of Lore where they've talked about it.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I was like reading this Twitter like thing about it, and I was like, I think I've done this before. But I like looked into it. No, hadn't done it.
Whoa.
So I got my information from this Twitter, like, what's it called? Like a thread? A thread.
Yeah.
From Horrors of Yore, which is a good Twitter account, which talks a lot about, like,
iconic,
like, sex and sex work from, like, history and how, like,
which is everything we love to talk about.
It didn't
very interested
start
in
the
case 60s.
You people have always been fucking horny.
It's literally the oldest profession on the planet. Just putting that out there, you know. People always be out here having a good time.
So I came across this Twitter thread, and I was like, fuck, I should do this. This is spooky. And then I was thinking back. So I re-listened to the episode of Lore about it. I got some information from there. I watched an episode of your pal from Ask a Mortician on YouTube.
Oh my god, we love Caitlin Dowdy from Ask a Mortician.
She did a really
She's incredible.
Good job on it.
Yes.
Also got information from YouTube, from Wikipedia, of course, from AmericanHauntingsInc.com, and from BirdInFlight.com.
Oh baby, so, this is a good one. If everyone's talking about it,
it's all our favorite people.
Yeah,
all of these are people. So we're gonna talk about something that we don't talk about enough, considering we talk about dead people. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get into necrophilia.
Oh, you're right. Considering we talk about like death and dying and dead people, we don't talk about this a lot.
It doesn't come up that much.
Whoa.
And you think it would, but today we're gonna get into it.
Oh boy.
So this is the tragic story of the death of Elena Milagro de Hoyos.
Oh yeah.
And the man who just wouldn't let her stay dead.
Okay, buckle up.
So our girl, Elena, was born on July 31st, 1909, in Key West, Florida, to Cuban parents, who are cigar maker Francisco Pancho Hoyos and Aurora Milagro.
Oh my gosh, great names. That whole family, great names. Wow.
They called him Pancho. He was a cigar maker. He's Cuban.
Pancho! I love that for him. What a guy. I bet he was good at his job. Good for him.
Probably. He's from Cuba. He's a cigar maker. He's probably fucking great at it. He probably has a cool mustache. Like, I'm picturing him.
Right. It's like 1909 in Key West, Florida. They're probably like, this guy's Cuban. He can do no wrong. We're obsessed with him and his cigars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Elena was known as a local beauty in Key West, where she grew up. But she had, like, a very short and tragic life. So at 16, she got married to Luis Meza. Their love affair was pretty short. She got married. She got pregnant. She had a miscarriage. And as soon as she had this miscarriage, her husband peaced out and moved to Miami. He was
so
like,
sad.
Nope, I'm done with you. Bye. She had a sister who died of tuberculosis. She had a brother-in-law who was electrocuted on a construction site and died.
Oh my god, yeah, because electricity was still so new. Oh boy.
Yeah, so a lot of the shit going down when she was, like, she wasn't very old. Like, she did not have a long life. Yeah. And then in 1930, when she was only 20, Elena got like a really bad cough, and they take her to the Marine Hospital in Key West, where she was also, like her sister, diagnosed with tuberculosis, mm-hmm. which yeah. it's 1930. You get tuberculosis, you're pretty much like...
You're done, baby.
You're done. Especially, she's like...
Yeah, there's...
Her family is like Cuban immigrants.
Yeah.
They probably don't have a lot of money. You're dead.
No. Yeah, they're not the priority of the hospital. Like, we get what's going on. Like,
exactly.
Aw. Yeah.
But this is where she meets Carl Tanzler, and things get really fucking strange on top of like all this shit that is already happened to her.
So
we're gonna talk about Carl. He is a weirdo. So Carl Tanzler, maybe? I don't know.
Carl.
A.K.A. Carl von Kossel, a.k.a. George Carl Tanzler, is a bit hard to pin down because it's, like, late 1800s, early 1900s. Not mm-hmm. a lot of records, no internet. Also, he liked to make shit up about himself and tell people these, like, crazy stories.
He's one of those!
So, extremely eccentric. We do know that he was born in Dresden, Germany on February 8th, 1877. And that he grew up in Germany. He possibly was from a very wealthy family. He told people he was from a wealthy family and also would just, like, spend money in really weird ways, so probably.
Mm-hmm. So he's just eccentric with money somehow.
He's eccentric. He,
oh, no. Because he can afford to be, probably.
He can afford to be. He yeah. is an inventor. He likes to build things. He likes to, like, tinker around with things. He went maybe to India. Eventually, he ends up in Australia. He stayed in Australia for a while. He, like, again, he's a like, self-made inventor, engineer. He, like, messes around with, like, electrical work. He tinkers around with, like, boats. He gets into, like, making planes.
He's got all the trades. He's got all the, he's doing all the it activities. All. He's got a
he's
lot of
hobbies.
He's
very interested in, like, just learning and doing stuff. He's eccentric.
Eccentric.
When World War I broke out, he was placed in a British concentration camp in Australia, since he was a German citizen.
Right.
There's a few stories about him, like, trying to break out, trying to, like, build a boat to get out of there.
Oh, my God, he would.
At the end of the war, he got out. He ends up back in Germany eventually, where he marries a woman named Doris Schaefer, and they have two children, the first one, Aisha, and then Clarissa, who unfortunately died of diphtheria when she was only 10.
Aww.
And then in 1926, he grabs his family. I've heard differing opinions. There are different, like, accounts in different things that I was, like, listening or reading. So I'm just gonna, like, go with some. There's some that say that he went to the United States by himself. There's others that he took his family with him and moved to Zephyr Hills, Florida. Where his sister had already, like, emigrated to a few years prior. So he goes to stay with his sister. When he submits documents for U.S. citizenship, he decides to call himself Carl Tanzler von Kossel. Now, this is where the first ghost comes in.
Okay.
So Carl didn't just choose this name at random to make himself look cool, though.
No.
He's like, I am Count Carl Tanzler von Kossel. And they're like, you're not a count, man. He's like, yes, I am. He had been telling people that he was a relative of Countess Anna Constantia von Kossel, who was a German noblewoman and also happened to be the mistress to the King of Poland in the 1700s, who had her own, like, wildlife going on back then.
Wow.
So he claimed that she was a relative of his and that she had visited him in spirit form throughout his childhood as a ghost, and that during these visions, she often showed him the face of this, like, dark-haired, gorgeous, exotic young woman who was supposed to be the love of his life.
Oh my God, this man is unwell, but wow.
So this woman, I mean, he's married, but obviously.
Right, but he's still fixated. The love of my life.
He's still fixated in being like, I've had these images of this woman still have yeah. her in her his head. You should.
He's literally like, "Hello, my ghost relative came to me and said, this is the lady for you.
This I will not is forget the woman that Thank I you. Need to look for."
Oh my God.
So a year after moving to Florida, Carl gets a job. He goes to hospitals and tells them that he's a doctor. He's not.
Of course he does. Yeah. No.
But he eventually gets a job at the U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West, Florida, where he doesn't work as
I wonder
a
where this
because
is going.
He's not qualified, but he gets a job as an X-ray technician. Because, okay. you know, he knows electricity and stuff like that.
Yeah, he tinkers around. He's one of those guys. And he's a man, yeah. so they'll hire him. You know, he
They're
can
like,
do whatever.
He's a weird German guy. He can probably work an X-ray. So he moves
because Germans are famously good with X-rays.
He's like, I don't know. He's fucking German. He can probably do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
So he picks up his stuff. He moves to Zephyr Hills. Or he moves to Key West from Zephyr Hills. Leaving his family behind. If he hadn't already left his family behind in Germany.
Yeah.
So now they're like with his sister in this other small town in Florida, which I was like, oh, maybe he could like visit them once in a while. But it's a 7.5 hour drive in 2021 from where he was before to Key West.
Yeah.
And also at the time, Key West is an island.
Yes.
So it's like not easy to get to. It's not like there was, like, an easily accessible, like,
yeah,
road.
It wasn't apparently. Like, let's take the train. It was like...
No.
Yeah.
It was like, you gotta take, like, a boat. Apparently, there was a railway that went there, but it had got knocked out by, like, a hurricane or whatever. So, he's
Just Florida
not see-
things.
He's not seeing his family.
No.
He's done with them.
Is bye-bye. Yeah.
Yeah. He's yeah. like, all right, done with you. I gotta go to Key West. I gotta go be an X-ray technician. Peace.
Yeah, he's like, this is
I'll,
my new
I'll
life.
Write you, maybe.
My new adventure, goodbye.
So skip ahead to 1930. Carl's at the Marine Hospital. Guess who else did I say was going to the Marine Hospital?
You set it up so good, I know who's there.
So Carl's working at the Marine Hospital. He's an X-ray technician.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to, like, diagnose people with, what's it called? Tuberculosis.
Oh, right, yeah, what she had, yeah, yeah.
What she had, I was like, leukemia, yeah. No, wrong. A way to diagnose
no,
people
no, no.
with tuberculosis was to x-ray them, to see the lungs.
Oh, yeah, the lungs, it's all about mm-hmm. the breathing and stuff, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Carl has this woman that he's to x-ray, and he walks in and he sees this dark-haired, young, exotic woman, and he's like, this is the girl from my dreams. This is the one that my ghost lady showed me. She is the love of my life. I need
He's like, this is the one and only.
He's
the
like,
one I've
I'm
been
gonna,
waiting for.
I'm gonna marry her. And she's like, okay, please x-ray me, figure out if I have tuberculosis. And he x-rays her, and he's like, yep, you got tuberculosis.
Oh my God, poor girl. That's awful.
Yeah. So Elena has tuberculosis. Her family is like, fuck, this is tough. And Carl is like, hey, so I am rich and work at the hospital. I will cure her. And they're like, we are not rich. She's probably fucked. So like, sure, please just do whatever.
They're like, we don't have anything to help her. This is probably her last chance to be helped by somebody else. It's a Hail Mary kind of help, so you say yes to it.
He's like, I'll do it for free. I'll come to your house. I'll fix her. And they're like, whatever, weirdo, please.
They're like, this strange German, like, X-ray technician is going to save her.
He's like, I know about medicine. I know about X-rays. So he, like, steals X-ray and, like, electrical equipment from the hospital, basically. Gets all these weird, like, medicines and is trying all these strange, like, ways of fixing her.
He doesn't know anything. He's
he doesn't
whatever.
Really know. He's eccentric. We're just going to go back to that again.
He's eccentric. No.
He's an eccentric German.
The thing that this podcast has taught me is that the use of the word eccentric usually is just a cover-up for men doing bad behavior and being weird, but also... Maybe charming.
Eccentric.
Like, what is that about that? No.
He's weird. I'll show you pictures of him too. He's
please.
He looks pretty much exactly what you think he would look like. He's just this like little German man. He's like kind of balding. He's got a big beard. He's got glasses. So he offers to help. He's coming over to their house like all the time. He's treating her with all his weird things. Apparently, he was like electrocuting her using like electroshock to treat tuberculosis, which. I mean, I'm not
surprised, but also that's not how things work. Sir. No, thank you.
So Carl, obviously, is also, like, convinced that this is the love of his life. He falls deeply in love with her, and he starts also, like, showering her with gifts of jewelry and clothing, and he's professing his love to her.
Right. All while she's sick and ill and, like, very, like, very unwell.
There's no real evidence either way that, like, she didn't reciprocate his feelings, but also there's no evidence that she did, and it's, like, pretty widely, like, considered that she, like, she's hot, she's 21, she's, like, has been left by, like, a shitty husband for getting, like, not that long ago. She's also dying of tuberculosis.
She's dying. She doesn't have any help. She's, been, like, left by this husband and is, like, on her own. Yeah. This, like, young woman who has no authority or no ability to, like, not even ability. That's not true, probably. It's, like, no opportunity to take care of herself. Mm-hmm. And then she's diagnosed to die, because that's what tuberculosis means at that time. Like,
You're gonna die, probably. There's this man.
Then this man shows up, and he's like, I'm fancy, and I will cure you. The power dynamic here is crazy. Yeah. Let me just be like, this man.
I'm weird. I'm in my 50s. Yeah. I'm this strange little German man. Oh my God. Like, I love you. I am going to fix you, and then I'm going to marry you. And she's just like, nah.
How about I just am not dying of tuberculosis? Yes, let's work on step one.
How about you fix me, and then we'll get there. We'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at a later date, sir. But sir, this is not a conversation for right now.
She's like, how about no?
Oh my God!
Eventually, despite all of Carl's like efforts and zapping and whatever. Elena died of tuberculosis on
I mean, October I wonder 25th, why, because we all know that electricity is the miracle drug.
Yeah, it didn't work. She died. Oh, God. Unfortunately. Oh God. Elena is dead and gone. Aww. She's only, like, 21 years old. Young, tragic. Yeah.
A sad, tough life and a sad, tough death.
Yeah, it gets tougher. Carl is devastated. Carl is devastated, and he offers to pay for a funeral.
His literal dream girl is now dead.
Literally.
Literal dream girl.
Literally. He was like, I'm going to fix her. And then she was like, whoop, I'm out. Bye. And he pays for her funeral. He also convinces the family. There was a story on, I think, the podcast Criminal, of she was like buried in like an underground regular grave. And he was worried that because of, like, rains and stuff, it was going to, like,
rip
her body. And he would, like, put tarps over her grave and be like, she can't, like, she's dead. That's how that works.
Sir, that's not how corpses work, sir. Please.
So he commissions an above-ground mausoleum for her so that she won't get wet, I guess.
Yeah, because he's like, that's the problem here.
Yeah. So she either originally got buried or was moved to this above ground mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery. And he gets the one key for the Key West Cemetery.
Ew,
that's for himself.
No.
And he's like, this is mine. No one knows I have this. Don't worry about it.
No.
So once she was there. I know, right?
I just cry. Like,
as if it wasn't enough. Like, they've had two daughters die of tuberculosis. And they're like, well, this weird doctor is just, like, obsessed with our dead daughter. He visits her every night at her grave.
Ugh, no,
He has long conversations with her. He injects her body with formaldehyde.
Oh, sir.
You know, like, normal date night
please,
stuff.
Sir. You know, like, when you're going on a date with your dead girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He's not your girlfriend.
You have to inject her with formaldehyde. He had a normal. Phone installed in the mausoleum, so he could just call her whenever he wanted. I don't know.
That's so extra. That's so extra. And phones are expensive at that time. Phones are a big deal, baby. Yeah. It's not just like get a Verizon plan. Like, it's expensive. Also, what's Verizon? I don't know. I mean, live in Canada.
He's a fake account. He has money.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
He continues to like visit her grave every night until 1933. At some point, he gets fired from the hospital, and the family is surprised to notice that he is no longer visiting her anymore.
They're shocking. Like, oh, that's weird. That is really weird. Strange, but I can't believe it, like, it took this long, though. Like, he was still working at the hospital this whole time. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, after 2 years of visiting, although no one else knew this, he had decided that seeing her this way wasn't enough. And also, there are stories that, like, he claimed that he heard Elena's spirit calling to him from her grave, asking him to free her, and that she would, like, appear to him and talk to him and be like, you need to get me out of here. You need to bring me back to life. So he started
to believe that. Right, because that's something he can do. You know.
Yeah, he gets convinced that he can.
Yeah, of course.
And he's like, I have to get her out of this grave and bring her back to life. So in April 1933, after she's been buried for 2 years, she's been dead 2 years, Carl went into the cemetery with a toy wagon. He took Elena's body from the mausoleum and he just wheeled her on out of there.
No, that you should not. You can't. Nobody should be allowed to just wheel somebody away.
Like, in a wagon. In a toy wagon.
In a toy wagon. Like, nobody should be allowed to just, like, pop on over to the mausoleum, take him with you for a ride in a toy wagon. Like,
I mean, he wasn't really. He wasn't really allowed. He just did it.
I know. But, like, you'd think that. That, like, there's more security than just, like, he's the only one with the key. Like, you know what
not
I mean?
At the Key West Cemetery.
Oh, Key West. Need more keys, West.
Need more keys.
That's what they really need.
So it's been 2 years. She's dead. Obviously, she's begun to decompose. So I can't imagine how, like, disgusting, like.
Body after 2 years, bodies are not so hot. Bodies are not so hot. Yeah.
No, she doesn't look great.
Doing their thing at that point. They're just, yeah. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
But he wheels her home. She just, like, keeps decomposing. He keeps, like, injecting her with formaldehyde. He keeps, like, spraying her with a bunch of chemicals, perfumes, so that she's not, like, stinking up the whole place. He wires her bones together with piano wire, adds glass eyes to her face, and as she continues to decompose, he replaced her skin with silk cloth soaked in wax and plaster, and he made a wig with her own hair that Elena's mother had, like, been convinced to give her after the funeral, him after the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she's, like, not keeping her shape because she's literally falling apart. Look at me, I'm falling apart.
Look at me, I'm falling apart. The literal real life version of
that's
that.
Her. That's except her. She can't talk because she's dead.
Oh no. She's Rasputin, but she's really unreal and she's dead.
So he fills her body up with rags.
No, like, he's just trying anything.
Also, it's Key West.
2 years later. Yeah, Key West, it's hot.
It's bodies hot, are it's humid. Goo. There's no air conditioning. It's 1930. He doesn't have AC.
He doesn't even have ice. This man needed ice. That's what he needed more of.
Yeah.
But also, that only goes so far. And, like, I know I said Key West needed more keys, but they probably need more locks. Too many keys.
Yeah.
Don't have locks.
Too many keys. Really don't have
too many Key West. Too many keys West.
There was a lock. He had the only key.
Oh, God. The worst.
So he, stuffs her with rags. She's, like, basically just, like, this doll at this point. She's not barely herself.
No, he's taken what was left and went, I'm going to make something else. Mm-hmm. And then he did.
He bought her, like, more clothing, more jewelry. He had a bunch of her, like, clothing as well that he would, like, dress her up with. dress her up in, and he kept her in his bed and would just, like, sleep with her every night.
It's literally the mom from Psycho. It's literally Norman Bates, but instead of it being a mother, it's just a young girl.
It's just this girl that he found.
This poor young Cuban-American girl. This poor
Cuban girl.
Yeah. This poor Cuban girl just, like, stolen literally away.
Yeah, no. In a fucking wagon.
In a wagon. Oh, my God.
So, even weirder, apparently at the time he was also building an airplane. We talked about how he was, like, making airplanes before. But this airplane is more of, like, a spaceship situation.
No.
And he called it Elena's Airship. And he apparently planned to take her up on this as soon as he, like, figured all this out. Take her up into space, where he believed that the space particles or something would, like, restore her to her tissues and bring her back to life. He's eccentric, oh, no. Carly.
He's eccentric, Cecilia. He's so eccentric. Oh, my God. That sentence sent my body into the stratosphere. It sent my mind, my being into the stratosphere. And now I'm back to comment on it. And I just... You know what's not up there? No, I was... No, that's what's not up there is life-saving barnacles. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's going to do that. He's convinced that he can make this happen. Unfortunately, he can't. It's not going to happen. He doesn't get the thing together. But what does happen?
Sorry. You mean this eccentric man isn't also an astronaut? I'm shocked.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, maybe if he had more time. But it's Key
West.
You never know. It's Key West. It's not that big of a city. People start talking. His family has her family has noticed that he isn't visiting the grave anymore.
Yeah.
People are like, why is this man buying women's clothing all the time? Apparently there was, like, a boy that at one point looked, like, through his curtains and saw him dancing with what looked like a life-size doll in his, like, living room.
That poor boy that had to see that. No.
So rumors start swirling. People are like, what the fuck? And Elena's sister, Florinda, hears all these rumors and gets convinced that her sister isn't in her grave anymore. She's like, I can just
good
feel
for
like
her.
Wrong.
Good for her to know
so
that because that's true.
Goes to Carl and is like, hey man, what's up? And he doesn't really deny it. He just lets her in and shows her. And she's like, oh no, what the fuck? She leaves. She gets the cops and they come and find Elena's body in his bed. And he had had it for 7 years.
That is so many years.
Yeah.
That corpse could have been in the second grade. That's how many years that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's so long.
Seven years.
Oh, her poor family. They probably just visited and they were like, we can't get in there, but hey, girl, hey, we'll leave you a flower.
And they wouldn't go in. They would just go visit.
But she wasn't there.
It was empty.
She was never there. Oh, my God. I'm so sad.
So Carl gets arrested. Stealing a corpse actually isn't illegal in Florida at the time, but he gets charged. You're
crazy.
I know.
Florida, you really are wild, girl. He
does get charged with, like, desecrating a tomb.
Oh, thank goodness.
But nothing really, like, sticks. Apparently the statute of limitations was up on that.
Because it had been 7 years.
7 years.
Oh, my
and
God.
And also, like, it's like, a pretty small police force. They know Carl. They're like, well, he's just, like, he's eccentric.
They're like, that's just Carl.
So,
oh, my God.
He doesn't really get charged with anything. The case, though, becomes a media sensation. Gets picked up by all of these, like, media sources in South Florida and eventually spreads across the country. Everyone's talking about it. Despite, like, our reaction to all of this being, like, fucking weird, the public were generally sympathetic to Carl,
God.
A lot of them found the story romantic.
Yeah, like, endearing. He loved her so much. He was going to send her to space. Like, No.
Yeah. They're like, oh my god, it's so romantic. He loved her so much. We're like, I don't think she reciprocated in any way.
Yeah. No, we're like, that's not how that works. Like, people just should have a say about themselves, even in death.
He's like a creepy stalker.
Yes. Oh my god. How times change. That's a wonderful thing.
God, yeah.
It's a truly wonderful thing.
They thought it was romantic, but we don't. So Elena's body in all of this media attention was examined, and then they put it on display. They had like a new funeral for her. They put her on display at the Dean Lopez funeral home in Key West, where nearly 7,000 people went to like see her and like pay their respects.
Yeah, because she's famous.
Look at her and be like, "Whoa, yeah. This is weird."
They're like, "Look what he did. That's so crazy."
Eventually, she was reburied. So she's reburied, but they had to put her in like a secret location in an unmarked grave so that no one would go bother her. Aww. So Carl was never found guilty of anything, like I said. But he moved away from Key West. He moved back to Zephyr Hills. I want to know what his wife and his daughter thought of all this. When he moves back and they're like, dude, you haven't talked to us in like at least 10 years. You bailed and then you fell in love with a dead girl?
Yeah, and you did a whole bunch of shit and now you're back?
I want all of this from his like estranged wife's point of view.
Perspective.
What's her name? Doris?
I think something like that. Yeah, that's the play I want to see. Situation from Doris's perspective.
I want her to tell us everything.
Yes.
Like, jeez. Yeah, Doris. He moves out of Key West. He wrote an autobiography that appeared in a pulp magazine called Fantastic Adventures in 1947. And he finally became a U.S. citizen in 1950. Good for him. It is said that he never got over Elena, and having had her actual body taken away from him, that he created a new Elena dummy, which he kept in his bed until his death on July 3rd, 1952.
Okay, you know what? I'm okay with that. Why couldn't you have done that from the beginning?
Well, like, yeah, why didn't you do that?
That's not, who is that harming? It's weird, it's eccentric, sure, but it's not bothering anybody, and it's not hurting anyone or their families or their legacies or their literal bodies.
That he was going to bring her back to life. He was convinced.
Oh my god. He was convinced.
He was convinced he was going to bring her back to life, and she was going to be in love with her. He was going to be in love with her.
Yeah, for bringing her back to life. He was convinced.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm somebody who like is easily convinced of things sometimes, and like I will like, I'm so stubborn that I'll just follow along with it. But I don't think something like this, I would ever be so convinced and so stubborn to follow through on a plan. Like, I will be the one to bring someone back to life. Like, that is a level of delusion that I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the first person.
Oh, I mean, Cecilia, what, you mean you're the first person? What about Jesus?
I am so sorry. It's Easter.
Amen.
So yeah, that was about Elena Milagro.
Wow.
And her short life and long death.
Oh my god, really? A truly short life and long death. Like, wow. Oh my gosh. That is really a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. I did forget about that, and now I remember it all, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that whole thing.
Bringing it back into your realm, into your circle.
Bringing it, reintroducing me this story that I forgot existed, but is the wildest of rides. Mine is a little different. Mine is a little more ghosty, a little less deathy. I mean, it has both of those things, of course. But we are going to hop across the pond to England. A land of crumpets, land of tea. You know it. I know it. We know it. We get it.
Jolly old.
In England. Yeah, jolly old. In England, there's a geographical area called East Anglia. It's the east part of the country made up of various counties, one of which is Norfolk County. In Norfolk County lies one of the most splendid of country houses, of great houses, called Raynham Hall. For 400 years, it has been the seat of the Townshend family. Its most famous living resident was Charles Townshend, second Viscount Townshend, from 1674 to 1738, who was leader in the House of Lords. House of Lords, you know, the fancy people who are the, also the government. House of Lords.
I love that. Meant nothing to me. You're just like, royal, 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 royal. And I was like, sure.
Royal, royal, House of Lords.
Oh, the House of Lords.
You know what? The only reason I know what the House of Lords is, because in the Amanda Bynes and Colin Firth hit and wonder, What a Girl Wants, Colin Firth plays a guy who says, I'm giving up my seat in the House of Lords to run to be a real politician because I think politics is for the people.
Oh, God.
That's the only reason I know what the House of Lords is. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he lives in a fancy house, too. And then turns out he's really down to earth. Yeah, he's a lord, but he's down to earth.
Of course. It's Colin Firth.
He's Colin Firth. He's very cool and hip and fun. Yeah, great flick, by the way. Didn't recommend. But not what this is about. One of the outstanding country houses of its period, Raynham Hall, was completed in 1637, and its most famous resident just might be the subject of one of the most famous hauntings in Great Britain. Lady Dorothy Walpole, the sister of Robert Walpole, who was basically the first Prime Minister of Great Britain, lived at Raynham Hall. She was the second wife of Charles Townshend, the guy I said before, the aforementioned lord, and is the person that many believe still haunts the home today. And she's known as the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall.
Damn it.
Damn it. Good try.
So close.
Different color. Different color. I mean, she's a white person, but brown lady, you know.
She's a brown lady?
Brown, white in life, known as Brown Lady in death.
Not because
of her skin. Yeah. Literally, she has a brown dress on. Prior to her marriage to Charles, it was rumored that nobleman and politician Thomas Wharton had taken her as a lover. Legend goes that Dorothy, while later married to Charles, also had an affair with Thomas. Apparently, in his notorious and violent temper, Charles took it really well and punished Dorothy by locking her in her rooms at Raynham Hall, where she eventually died.
No.
Baby, we may or may not have another bricked-in situation because she was locked in those rooms.
Locked in.
I know. Locked in. There's other versions of the story, though, too, that are a little bit different. And it's one of them is that maybe on hearing of the adultery of Dorothy and the Thomas Wharton, Charles killed Dorothy. Or there's another version that maybe Charles just faked her funeral and then hid her away at Raynham Hall. Another version still is from Mary Wortley Montagu, who was an aristocrat. Yep. Because I wrote Aristocat, so she's an aristocrat.
She's writer aristocrat.
And poet. I had to double check because I wrote it, but she's a person. She was a writer and poet, and she recounted that Dorothy was instead entrapped in the house by the Countess of Wharton. Who invited that lady, Countess of Wharton, the wife of the other guy, invited Dorothy over to stay for a few days, knowing that her husband would never allow her to leave, not even to see her children, and she remained at Raynham Hall until her death from smallpox in 1726.
What?
So there's a lot of different versions. Some either she's murdered, most she's locked up somehow at Raynham Hall. She doesn't get to leave, basically. Regardless of what actually happened, sounds like Dorothy suffered a terrible end, which is no surprise that hers is one of the most famous hauntings in all of Britain. The first recorded sighting of the ghost was in 1835 at Christmas by Lucia Seastone. Lord Charles Townshend had invited various guests over for Christmas festivities. You know, a good old Christmas
time. Figgy pudding.
A little figgy pudding action, a little Christmas tree, a little cinnamon, a little candles on the tree. Let's light this house on fire. You know, one of those.
Christmas
Time. Present at this gathering was Colonel Loftus, and among others, another guest named Hawkins. One night, as they approached their bedrooms, Loftus and Hawkins saw the Brown Lady, called so by them for the dated brown dress she wore. You called it. The next night, Loftus again claimed to have seen the Brown Lady, but this time, reported that he was drawn to the apparition's dark, empty eye sockets in its glowing Ew. Face. Ew! This sighting, or perhaps an earlier sighting in 1820, led to some staff permanently leaving Raynham Hall. So I got a lot of my information from Wikipedia, ghosts.fandom.com, hoaxes.org, and raynhamhall.com.
Hoaxes.org.
The next reported sighting was in 1836 by Charles Dickens's pal, Captain Frederick Marryat. Not Marriott. Marryat.
Marriott?
An author of not like the hotel chain, but Marryat. An author of popular sea novels. Apparently, Marryat requested to spend the night in the haunted room at Raynham Hall to prove his theory that the haunting was caused by local smugglers anxious to keep people away from the area. Why? Who? How? I don't know. There's no elaboration on this theory.
In the hall? Is it like an inn at this point? Is it still like a manor house? What's happening?
It's still fully a manor house. Nobody has not lived there.
Why are the smugglers going in?
These are the questions I don't have answers to, and I just wrote, okay, question mark next to in my notes, because I don't understand. Oh, but he was convinced that somebody was putting on something. You know, okay. Someone was taking the piss, as they'd say.
Yes.
In 1891, his son, Florence, recounted his father's experience. His son's name is Florence. Great name. Okay. Like Nightingale, but for a man.
But a son.
But a man, yeah, we love that.
Good for Florence.
Good for Florence.
Good old Flo.
We love it. Good old Flo. Uncle Flo. We love him.
Hmm?
And I'm going to read what Florence Marryat said of his father.
Okay.
Verbatim. So here's what he said. He took possession of the room in which the portrait of the apparition hung, and in which she had been often seen, and slept each night with a loaded revolver under his pillow. For 2 days, however, he saw nothing, and the third was to be the limit of his stay. On the third night, however, two young men, nephews of the baronet, knocked at his door as he was undressing to go to bed, and asked him to step over to their room, which was at the other end of the corridor, and gave them his opinion on a new gun arrived from London. My father was in his shirt and trousers, but as the hour was late and everybody had retired to rest except themselves, he prepared to accompany them as he was. As they were leaving the room, he caught up his revolver. "In case you meet the Brown Lady," he said, laughing. When the inspection of the gun was over, the young men, in the same spirit, declared they would accompany my father back. "In case you meet the Brown Lady," they repeated, laughing also. The three gentlemen, therefore, returned in company. The corridor was long and dark, for the lights had been extinguished. But as they reached the middle of it, they saw a glimmer of a lamp coming towards them from the other end. "One of the ladies going to visit the nurseries," whispered the young Townsends to my father. Now, the bedroom doors in that corridor faced each other, and each room had a double door with a space between, as is the case with many old-fashioned houses. My father, as I've said, was in shirt and trousers only, and his native modesty made him feel uncomfortable, so he slipped within one of the outer doors, his friends following his example, in order to conceal himself until the lady should have passed by. Because he's a gentleman, doesn't want to be seen by the lady in his state of undress.
Who did?
We must hide away and have the lady see us in such a state of undress in the hallway. I have heard him describe how he watched her approaching nearer and nearer through the chink of the door? I don't think that's right. Through the chunk of the door? I don't understand.
I think that
through
is the, right. It's like an old-timey thing.
Oh, that's weird.
It's not like a racial slur back then.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be,
but I don't like it anyway. Through the sliver of the door, let's say. That makes more sense, and also it's not
through the
bad.
Gap of the door.
Through the gap in the door, we get it. That's what we're looking through. So he looked there because he's trying to hide from the ladies. Mm-hmm. And Where am I looking? Hold on.
There's a gap in the door.
The gap in the door, until as she was close enough for him to distinguish the colors and style of her costume, he recognized the figure as the facsimile of the portrait of the brown lady. Ooh. He had his finger on the trigger of his revolver and was about to demand it to stop and give the reason for its presence there when the figure halted of its own accord before the door behind which he stood, and holding the lighted lamp she carried to her features, grinned in a malicious and diabolical manner at him. This act so infuriated my father, who was anything but lamb-like in disposition, that he sprang into the corridor with a bound and discharged the revolver right in her face. The figure instantly disappeared.
He's gonna shoot the ghost?
The figure. This man has holding a gun.
He's like, gotta make sure I have a gun. Obviously. Just in case I come upon a ghost. It's like,
a ghost.
If there's one thing that's not gonna do anything to a ghost, it's a gun.
It's a gun! People are so into in the Victorian era and like earlier, they're so into the idea of shooting ghosts. Man,
like,
man,
well,
and their guns and ghosts.
I've never managed to shoot a ghost before. Might as well try.
They're like,
it.
Maybe today's my day. He's like, couldn't hurt. So the figure disappeared. The figure at which, for several minutes, three men had been looking together. And the bullet passed through the outer door of the room on the opposite side of the corridor and lodged in the panel of the inner one. My father never attempted again to interfere with the brown lady of Raynham.
My father never again tried to shoot a ghost.
My father never again thought, maybe I'll shoot a ghost in the middle of a hallway where people are sleeping.
Yeah, what if he, like, shot it and it went through a door and, like, hit someone? Like, a real person.
Hit someone else! It went well. It did. It went through the outer door and lodged in the second door. So if the hallway only had one door, he'd have shot somebody probably on the other end. They could have been asleep in their bed, and he would have been like,
"Pew
pew,
well,
I was shooting at a ghost."
To shoot the brown lady. And oops.
And oopsie doopsie, like gun control.
Yeah.
Gun control, people. Guns don't work against ghosts. I don't know how many times we have to say it. In 1926, the brown lady was seen once again. This time, the son of the then-current Lady Townsend and his friend claimed to have seen the ghost on the staircase, identifying Lady Dorothy as who they had seen from her portrait that hung at the time in the haunted room. But perhaps the most wildly famous sighting of the brown lady was on September 19th, 1936. A London-based photographer named Captain Hubert C. Provand, is French. He's probably not French. I don't know. But he's got a French name. And his assistant, Indre Shira, were taking photos of Raynham Hall for an article in Country Life magazine. They had all, right? What a nice time. Nice time out of the
country
house. They're like, this is country life. Let's take a photo. We loved it. We love to see it. We're just here on a gig. They'd already taken photos of the hall's main staircase and were prepping for another when Shira saw a vapory form gradually assuming the appearance of a woman moving down the stairs towards them. Provand quickly took off the cap of the lens and Shira pressed the trigger to activate the camera's flash. Later, when the negative was developed, one of the most famous ghost photos ever taken was revealed. The brown
lady. They did shoot a ghost.
Hall. They shooted a ghost in a different
way. You can't shoot a ghost with a gun.
That's
you gotta shoot it with the camera. Oh, I'm receiving a photo.
The only way. Yeah. Take a look at this photograph,
spooky.
Will you?
What year did you say this was?
1936, baby.
Now that's a ghost. I don't really see a lady or brown, but it looks pretty ghostly.
it's black and white to me.
It looks like white.
It's pretty black and white to me.
A lady in white.
Maybe it's what you had to be their situation.
Maybe.
But the photo and the photographer's account was published in Country Life that December and later in the January edition of Life magazine in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after, get this, noted paranormal investigator Harry Price, who y'all might recognize from such hits as Bricked in Nun at the Borley Rectory, weighed in on the situation after he interviewed the photographers, and he said, "I will say at once, I was impressed. I was told a perfectly simple story. Mr. Indri Shira saw the apparition descending the stairs at the precise moment when Captain Pravan's head was under the black cloth. A shout and the cap was off and the flashbulb fired, with the results we now see. I could not shake their story, and I had no right to disbelieve them. Only collusion between the two men would account for the ghost, if it is a fake. The negative is entirely innocent of any faking. So he, renowned ghost hunter, renowned ghost guy, mm-hmm. Harry Price, was fully convinced. He's like,
that's impressive.
This is true. This happened. Absolutely. Because
mm-hmm. didn't he like shut a bunch of things down? Oh my god, is this? I just sent Carly a picture of Carl Tanzler.
I was going to say, is this Carl? Because this man is eccentric as fuck.
I'm so sorry. I just thought of this. Oh. To send you this, but that's what he looks. Doesn't he look Thank exactly you. What he would look like?
He looks even better than what I could have ever guessed. If this was a modern photo, like, not to throw us under the bus, but this man would be wearing Crocs. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or at least Birkenstocks.
We are Croc stans.
That may not be a Birkenstocks.
Oh, yeah. He's German. He's a Birkenstocks boy.
I'm also going to send you two pictures of Elena alive and one of her not so alive.
Okay.
I should have done this earlier, I'm just interrupting Harry Potter.
Oh, I've seen the not alive photo.
Yeah.
She's so cute, she's really though. Cute. Her little curls.
Yeah, her little ringlet. She's
yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, she's so cute. She looks like one of those fancy, like, 1920s dancers, you know? Like you see in the movies. Yeah. She's so pretty.
Must be her wedding.
She's pretty enough to be in the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, probably. Yeah, she's pretty enough to be in the picture show. You know?
Look at her go.
Poor girl. And then this is what became of her.
I know. It doesn't look anything like her.
That's so sad. Not even close.
So scary.
Well, we'll post these photos on the Instagram for sure, for sure. Because these are some good ones this week. For sure.
Anyway, continue.
But yeah. Sorry, back to Harry Price. Not everybody was as convinced as him.
But also, Harry Price would often, like, shut down a lot of these things. So it's pretty impressive that he went along with it, right?
Yeah, that he was, like, fully, this is true. Yeah, can't imagine that this is not true. Absolutely. Yeah, he was, like, he, like, debunked stuff, too. Yeah. It wasn't like he was, like, I believe and I'm going to twist the truth to be so I believe.
No, not all the time.
He kind of does what we do in a way.
Yeah.
We're, like, look sus, or is like, no, that seems kind of real. Yeah. Or like, you know, he sits more in the in between, mm-hmm. I'd say, than not, probably. Yeah. At least from what I can remember of Harry Price besides this.
Yeah.
But again, not everybody was convinced, which is a case with everything, right? Some critics think that they faked the image by smearing grease or something similar on the lens to fake the figure. Or that one of them moved down the stairs during the long exposure to fake, like, a ghostly figure. Mm-hmm. Or light got in the camera, or there was a double exposure that had happened. Lots of people also say the lady closely resembles the shape of most statues of the Madonna that can be found in any Catholic church or kitchen of an Italian nonna. That last part I added because you can also find them there
or
for sure.
In my living room.
Or in your living room. That's really true. Yeah. Folks think it could just be the superimposition of a Madonna statue onto an empty staircase. So that could be another explanation. The most interesting one, though, is the magician John Booth took it to another level, this whole conspiracy thing, to another level, when he said that the photo could easily be duplicated using naturalistic methods. And then he proceeded to do just that. Booth had fellow magician Ron Wilson cover himself in a bedsheet and descend the grand staircase at, you guessed it, the Magic Castle in Hollywood.
Oh my
god. The infamous Magic Castle.
Amazing.
Their faked ghost image ended up looking very similar to the photograph of the brown lady at Raynham Hall.
Do you have it?
They were like, we're magicians. We're going to make it happen. I don't know. I didn't really look for it. I should look for it. Let me just give it a quick Google.
I feel like that's the case with so many, like, these ghost photos. I feel like it's so easy to fake them that I'm like, well, that could be real, but, like, it's also so pretty easy to make it, like, fake.
Right? Like, it's, like, things are easy, like, people want to believe so badly in things, just in general, not even ghosts. People just want an answer for things, so we'll just be like, yeah, that's the answer. Instead of, like, because the more complicated answer is more satisfying instead of, like, being satisfied with the logical answer. Sometimes people are like, no, can't be.
It is so easy to just like explain these things away. But who knows?
No, I don't see it here. I just see like the uncanny, right? Like it just pictures of John Wilkes
Booth. Oh my god, like, yeah. So they're like, this is the ghost of John Wilkes
Booth. Okay. Yeah, right? It's like, no, thank you. No. Okay. So, yeah, apparently they were able to recreate it pretty believably. Mm-hmm. Which is like, all right, I buy it. Whether or not the photo is real hasn't stopped accounts of this apparition from residents at the hall still today, like all the way up through the 60s and even before the 1835, because King George IV, apparently, when he stayed at Rainham Hall, witnessed her standing beside his bed wearing a brown dress with a pale face and disheveled hair.
Oh, no. She didn't dress up to see the king.
No, she showed up to the king and went, I'm here. And he went, that lady looks unwell. Rainham Hall is still a private residence today, but is open to the public on open days, is what they call them. Certain days of the year when they open to the public. Tickets apparently are £30 per person and must be pre-booked. They've got beautiful grounds. They got a fancy home. But they're keeping the haunting residence that lives there. That's the most famous part of Rainham Hall. A little hush hush. Mm-hmm. Like the website doesn't mention
they don't
it.
Talk about it.
That it's very, no, it's very British feeling where it's like, if we don't talk about it, it won't happen. So we'll just sweep it under the rug.
It simply was not a thing.
It simply couldn't be true.
I'm going to inform you that I know nothing about ghosts.
Yeah, it has its own full Wikipedia page for the ghost alone. But it doesn't have even a mention from what I could find on the actual website. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, you know. But seems pretty cute. I mean, £30 is a lot of money. I don't know if I'd pay it to see it, but it's cool. Yeah. And that's the brown lady at Rainham Hall.
Wow. Good for her. She's just living her death.
Yeah. I know. She's one of the most infamous ghost photos in modernity. She's just vibing. She's wearing a brown wearing a brown outfit. She's walking around. She in my brain, I picture her as if anyone watches a TV show, Another Period, I picture her as the sister Hortense. She just walks around wearing brown all day.
I did just start watching that.
It's amazing.
I watched an episode before I came here.
Oh my god, yes. She's Hortense. Yeah. She's walking about. That's what she is in my brain.
Three episodes of Another Period.
Good. Are you loving it?
It's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I needed something just like light and silly because the last TV show, or the last, I guess it's a miniseries that I watched, was the Woody Allen, the Allen v. Pharaoh.
Oh, I'm not done it yet. I have like one more. It's heavy. It's really angry.
Oh my god.
It makes me so confused how people can still support this man.
I'm so upset.
Ooh. Yeah, it's very upsetting.
So that's,
it's really good though. Really well done, I thought.
Really good and really good at like telling all.
I learned so much.
All of the sides while still being like, I guess Woody Allen does suck a lot.
Yeah, it's like we're giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, but also like it's kind of clear that one of these things is not like the other.
The evidence just shows. Unfortunately, he sucks.
He totally sucks. I honestly, I think the only Woody Allen movie I probably have ever seen is probably Ants.
Oh my god!
That's the only one I can it's the only one I can remember seeing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So to me, it's not any sort of a loss. I have no interest.
Yeah,
and I've actively avoided it for a very long time, which is probably the reason why I haven't seen a lot of his work.
Avoided him for a long time, so I've only seen like the couple of the ones that I like accidentally watched as like a younger person. I think I watched.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple.
Same,
I just don't
which remember. Is which is for me is just Ants, I think. At least there's that.
So there's that. That's my recommendation for the week. If you want to watch something really heavy, watch that.
And then follow it up with Another Period. Super good, super light.
It's very light and silly. And I just have that on too.
It's currently what I am watching to fall asleep to every night. So it's very. I love it. It's great. Mm-hmm. Can't recommend it enough. What else have I been watching recently? Really not that much. I'm behind because I was locked out of my Crave for like almost a month.
So oh no!
Now I'm back. Yeah, because they switched our login info and then didn't. They switched our login info and didn't tell us. And we were like trying to ask them for like a month. Like,
help.
We need it. Please tell us.
We need it. We have nothing else to do.
Literally, which is why I've only seen like the first. I'm on the third episode of the Woody Allen Mia Farrow thing because of that. I got cut off halfway through.
I've also sort of been trying to watch the like Oscar movies. I mean, I've avoided the ones that are.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna watch like Mank or Trial of the Chicago 7, but I watched Sound of Metal, which is really really good.
Oh, that's good.
Definitely recommend that one. Minari is also really, really good. Both of those two, I'd say definitely watch. I watched the Meryl Streep one this morning, and it was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Not bad.
Meryl Streep was in it. There you go. It's like, it's old old ladies plus Lucas Hedges just, like, on a boat, on a ship.
Wow. Wow.
I'm like, okay.
That's something. That's something, I guess.
I guess I'm going to watch that's it something. At 9 a.m.
It's that kind of 9 a.m.
I'm like, well, last week I put on Titanic while I was eating breakfast. So today I was this movie also takes place on a big ship.
Your new thing is watching ship movies
for
breakfast.
Ship movies. If anyone has ship movies for me to watch,
please let us know.
That's my new thing to do on like Sunday, Monday mornings. I just throw them on. I'm like, yeah, I'll watch this.
You're prepared for the day. Gets you makes the day smooth sailing.
I can do anything once I've been through a movie about drama on a boat, on a big ass boat.
Yeah, you really can seize the day after that.
I really can. It is truly, yes, I'm sailing.
Oh my god, that's funny. Yeah, what have I watched? No, I've been listening to Taylor Swift's new song she released.
Yeah.
Just on repeat, because it's just great.
It's
just
nice. Great.
From the vault.
From the vault.
It's cute and nice.
Bring us more Taylor Swift from the vault. We're getting it. It's happening.
Right? We're ready. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
This is what we've needed, apparently, and I believe that now.
It is what we needed. Very glad. We didn't know we needed, but it is.
Right? She's really just doing it to us. Mm-hmm. She's making it happen. So, thank you, T-Swift. We love you.
From the vault.
From the vault. Who doesn't love? Yeah, I don't know. I've had a weird week. My plants are dying. I don't know why they're all dying. They are, though.
What? Your plants are dying?
Yeah, my plants are dying.
Oh, no.
I don't know why.
Carly, they're supposed to be doing better now.
I know.
Now.
My plants that I've had for a long time are doing well, but my newer plants, my two new plants are not doing so hot. I don't understand what's happening.
No.
So, I have a string of pearls that was beautiful, and the reason I bought new plants was because I wanted string of pearls, and it's just mad at me.
String of pearls
dying now.
They're angry plants, and they don't like to live.
Yeah, so I just took one picture of it, and I was like, that's nice enough. And then now it's dying,
like,
so I'm
good.
Like, it's okay.
That's good for me.
Yeah, because I have a really cool, I think it's supposed to be, it's either a planter or an ashtray, but it's a mouth. And, like, the string of pearls out, it looks so cool.
That is cool.
But now
cool.
It's dead. Now they're dead.
Need to put something else in it. Yeah,
I'll figure it out.
I replanted a bunch of my plants, and I found a couple of them had bugs, so there's tossed
Oh,
them.
No.
I went,
garbage.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you went, no bugs for me.
There's just a pile of dead plants on my back porch.
We love that for you.
Because I threw
so
a bunch
many
of
plants
out there like a month ago, too, when I found books.
You were like, they're done.
I was like, goodbye. Yeah. I can't fix this. You gotta go. You're out of here.
You're like, you can't be helped. Goodbye.
There's nothing
no,
I can do
some,
about
some
this.
Of my plants, some of my plants are doing good. Plants I've had for a while are doing good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with me is I get new plants and I like them a lot, and then sometimes they just die and I get upset about it, but then sometimes I have plants that just keep going. I'm like, good for you. So
you can only do so
I guess it's sometimes it's the luck of the draw.
There are people
I always think it's me, but
there are people who get so upset about killing plants, and I'm like, you know what, it's part of having plants. You're just gonna kill them. You just have to get over it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the thing is, you know me, I'm constantly killing plants. So I'm like, oh my god, it's a miracle when one stays with me
yeah,
for
when one
a
stays
long time.
Alive, yeah.
So I like, Yeah, like I just have a couple that are like just kicking. I don't have to do hardly anything for them, and they're like thank you.
Nice.
And I realized recently that they're just like growing. Like some are popping new leaves. I'm like, oh my god, you're doing great. Nice. I'm doing nothing for you. Thank you for being alive. Nice. Yeah, it's great. I know. But then things like my string of pearls, I was so excited for. I was like, this is my plant. No, it was like, I hate you. Goodbye. So
it was like, no, not gonna happen.
Yeah, it was just not meant to be. And that's okay. Then there's another one that I like that I just don't know why it hates me. It's fine.
I'll give you some advice. Maybe not on the pod.
It's not on the pod. Yeah, I'll show it to you later. I don't know what's going on with it.
We'll stop recording and then I'll...
Yeah, because it was thriving for like 2-3 weeks and then now it's like, no, thank you. And I'm like, what is going on here?
That's our life updates.
Our life updates. This is now a plant podcast.
I'm realizing this is our Easter episode, so in
oh my gosh, yes, it is coming out on the goodest of Fridays.
This is Good Friday. Jesus is dead, but guess what? Like a ghost, he's coming back.
Yeah, and you know what? He doesn't need Carl to do it for him. He just does it himself.
No, he just does
it. Happy Easter.
By the grace of God.
God does it for him. Amen.
Happy Easter. Don't go to church.
Oh my god, because COVID, not because we're telling you to not believe in church. But also like be safe, because it's not worth it. God doesn't want you to die of COVID just because you went to church
over
Easter.
Just saying. Especially Easter
That's
mass.
What I have to keep telling my mom.
Easter mass is long and boring. Just like
Easter mass. No, the best mass of the year, not gonna lie to you, Good Friday. You know why? They put on a play. They do the drums. It's very dramatic.
Is that the one that's really long, though? What's the one that's really long?
No, Good Friday is only an hour.
Easter's long?
Well, Good Friday and Easter are both kind of long. Good Friday's kind of long, but it's good because it's very, like, drama about it. I'm here for the drama of it all.
No, I was always like, this one's long.
I think that's probably Good Friday that you're thinking. When everyone has to go kiss the cross. Yeah, that's so long.
Yeah, it takes so long.
That's Good Friday. Like, that's Good Friday.
Don't kiss the cross. That's how you get COVID.
Yeah. No kissing the cross this COVID season, this COVID Easter, okay? If you're in somewhere where churches are open, which is what's our case, don't go. And also, if you do go, don't kiss the cross.
Don't touch
the cross. Don't even barely look at it.
Jesus will just kiss the cross that's in your heart.
Yeah, go to yourself, and Jesus will know. That's the thought and that matters, you know.
Do you think
Jesus thinks that you kissing a piece of wood is a difference between you really meaning it in your heart and you just kissing a piece of wood? I think he understands. You know,
I'm sure that you have plenty of pieces of wood around your house that you can kiss. You don't have to go out in public to do it.
No, go on a nature walk where you know no one else has been. Pick up a stick, give it a kissy, and say thank you, Jesus.
That is the cross.
I'm sure he'll be glad for you. It's the same thing. I don't know how to tell you any different.
Oh yeah.
We're not here. We're not here to police people's beliefs, but we're here to you know, make sure that you're being safe.
I don't care what we want everyone to be safe. Just be careful. Don't go and super spread.
Yeah.
This
yes,
Easter
that's
season.
Literally what we're saying. Yeah, it's not worth
it's
it.
It's what Jesus would have wanted. Would want.
Right? Would want. Amen. Yeah, this Easter season, my gift to myself is I'm getting the vaccine. So,
yeah!
Thank goodness. I'm very grateful to live in a place where that's possible. But it's very dumb that it's not possible for most people. That's what I'm saying.
The rest of us.
I'm saying it should be. I know. I'm saying like it's dumb. The reason that we're getting it is because we're a priority group, which should be a priority.
Yeah.
However.
Yes. Absolutely.
However.
But it should be easier for everyone to get it.
It should be easier for everybody. The end. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
We're not mad.
Certain groups aren't a priority.
We're not mad at the people who are getting it. We're just saying that the powers that be that are giving them out should make it easier for everyone to get it.
Yeah, more like the powers that don't be, because they ain't got no power. They're just confused. They're a mess.
Just not even trying.
Yeah, and if there's any other Indigenous adults just like me, which is, of course, the priority group that I'm a part of, get your vaccines, baby. If you're Canadian and you're an Indigenous adult, you don't need anything special. You don't need a status. You don't need anything. If you're First Nations, Métis, Inuit, all you have to do is identify as such, and then they're going to let you be vaccinated apparently right now. So I would say look into your local health guidelines and look at your local province or territory or wherever you live, the availabilities, and not be afraid to take up that space that should and is allotted to you in the vaccine lineup right now. So, yeah. And then, of course, tell your friends, to everybody, when it comes available, we gonna just be taking it. So, yay.
I put myself on a Rexall COVID wait list today. So that's
oh,
where I'm
good
at.
For you. Good. Hopefully someone will cancel their appointment and you'll get the extras.
Who knows? We'll see.
You'll get this dregs, the scraps.
I'll take anything.
Literally. Yeah, literally. Take what they give you.
Say thank you. Even they call me up and they're like, we have a flu shot for you. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll take that.
I'm like, that's something. Thanks. I'll take it.
It's spring, but like, whatever. You're getting.
But like, I'm down for it. Flu season round two. Why not?
Vaccinate me, baby.
Anyway, that's our interesting news of the day. So I have one question for you. Just one.
So,
you see any ghosts this week?
Not this week.
Ah, man.
What about you? You seen any ghosts?
I have not seen any ghosts. Not even one. The only ghosts I've seen are the ones in the pictures.
Not even one in my life.
Not even one chance of it this week. But maybe next week. You know, that's how it goes.
Well, we're trying our best to see ghosts, but
correct.
One day.
But yeah, so just to say, good for us. Hooray and yay.
Hooray and yay, and hooray and yay for you as well.
And hooray and yay for you, and you, and you, and us.
And you, and you, and you.
And you also, too. If you want to follow us on the internet, you can. Mm-hmm. We're all over it. Mm-hmm. We're all over this thing, baby.
We're on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod.
That's right.
We're on Twitter at GAE Pod. We have a little email, ghostsareverypod@gmail.com.
Yeah, we do.
We're not on Facebook.
No, we don't have time for that right now. But we do have a little Etsy shop if you want to take a little peekaroo at it. We are also pilot programming some new little merch on there. So if you want to take a sneak peek at it, it's not just stickers now, baby.
Oh, yeah. Take a peek. See what you can get.
Yeah.
Deck your whole life out. Stuff. Why not?
Why not? You'll like it. You will. We like
you it. You will. Okay, bye. Have fun.
Okay, bye. Apple sponsor our podcast. We have
Apple sponsor.
We've got a rave review.
We'll take anything.
Yeah, we're Apple hoes at this point. So we are.